My name is Mark Sussman. I'm a professor of biology at San Diego State University. I run an NIH-funded research operation looking at the structural and molecular basis of heart failure and regenerative medicine and aging. We've been doing it for over two decades. So what I'd like to cover today is the issue of myocardial aging and research that's currently ongoing to try to deal with myocardial aging and aging cardiomyopathy, as well as trying to give a sense of where we are, where we're heading, and how we can best use the knowledge that we have to take care of patients who are suffering from aging-related cardiomyopathic disease. As any good physician would know, there are multiple areas where myocardial aging stems from. We just wrote an article about this last year that's fairly comprehensive, but to summarize, there are both intrinsic mechanisms within the heart and the cells of the heart themselves, and then there are extrinsic mechanisms. Intrinsically, within the heart and within the patient's body, you can't escape genetics, and certainly there are inherent cellular properties of aging and cell survival and cell lifespan. And then there are tissue and organ-related body processes and the general deterioration of homeostasis that occurs with aging. Example, deterioration of liver function, of kidney function. All of these things impact upon cardiac health and also the aging process itself. As cells age, they shift in their molecular composition, they become compromised in their functional capacity, and all of those impact upon cardiac hemodynamic performance and output. And so these whole body processes, synergistically and collectively, all account for why aging is such a difficult syndrome to treat, because it isn't simply attacking one area, it's an attack basically on the entire body and whole body process. So we can try to treat heart failure, but at the same time recognizing that heart failure is just one aspect of an overall aging individual. With regard to extrinsic mechanisms, these are things outside the body itself that impact upon the progression and rapidity and the speed at which aging occurs. And as anybody who's been watching any popular media knows, choices in lifestyle and in diet and exercise, environmental pollutants, choices of stress, emotional state, all of these things can either accelerate or blunt the process of aging. And so making correct choices and trying to do your best in order to mitigate anything that exacerbates or promotes deterioration of your life and your aging process obviously would be helpful. As far as whether or not any of these processes can be reversed, of course, aging as a body process is a progressive slow decline that occurs over time. And there's structural remodeling that occurs within the heart. There's functional decline in hemodynamic performance. And although improvements are certainly possible, there is no fountain of youth in terms of being able to turn back the heart to a youthful phenotype, but it is definitely possible to change the curve and the progression and the rapidity of which aging occurs and mitigate that decline, as well as promote beneficial remodeling and beneficial biological responses by making good choices and by intervening early. So at present, there's no real substitute for recognizing early intervention as a critical aspect of blunting progressive deterioration and slowing the aging process. Since once you get a heart that's remodeled and enlarged, hypertrophic, or failing, dilating, it's really, really much tougher to pull it back once it gets to that point than it is to prevent it from getting there in the first place. The human heart itself is an organ characterized by very slow cardiac myocyte turnover. And the myocytes obviously provide contractile force that is critical for hemodynamic output of the heart. So even though the heart does have a slow progressive turnover of myocytes over the course of our lifespan that occurs in decades, we don't perform acute injury repair very well. So if there's a myocardial infarction or if there's systemic hypertension, those kinds of things lead to progressive changes in the cardiac structure and function. And instead of us repairing ourselves, we generally tend to scar over or have increased fibrotic deposition. And all of that increases difficulty with wall compliance, you get decreased wall compliance, you get decreased contractile function, and you get decreased space for myocyte invasion into regions to restore contractility, because once an area scars, it doesn't heal over very well with new myocytes. So all of the interventional strategies for promoting regeneration are rooted somewhere in aspects of promoting unnatural processes for us humans, because we don't do this as a natural process. One thing that my lab has been particularly focused on for a number of years is rejuvenation of the cells to promote youthfulness. This ties into what I was talking about earlier. Since young hearts withstand stress and damage much better than old hearts do, anybody who's worked with juvenile patients as opposed to aged patients can tell you that. And we've been able to accomplish some of this rejuvenation process in animal models by turning back the clock with genetically modifying cardiac cells. We're also looking at ways to create adoptive transfer cell therapy approaches using genetically enhanced cells and promoting survival of myocardial tissue. And by promoting survival and blunting remodeling, you can slow the deterioration that occurs in pathological damage or just in aging. But in the final analysis, I was thinking about what would I be telling people in terms of where we are with cardiac rejuvenation. And the problem that we face is that the target population for most interventions that are designed to treat aging cardiomyopathy are, in fact, elderly patients. That makes sense. But the problem is that the cells within those patients are going to be old, they're going to be tired, they're likely to be senescent, and they're not particularly responsive to interventional strategies to promote health and viability and vitality, because they've been around for many, many years, and their functional capacity has been declining throughout that time. So that makes the job of rebuilding a heart and restoring function tougher. And so a first step, a critical initial step, in trying to treat aging cardiomyopathy and elderly patients would be to turn back the aged state of the heart to a more youthful condition so that we can begin to get the endogenous repair mechanisms and the endogenous cell populations to respond to interventional strategies. So that's been a primary focus of what my lab has been working on for quite some time. I think for any clinician trying to deal with elderly patient who's trying to understand where they are with regard to their ability to recover from age-associated cardiomyopathy, recognizing that preserving cardiac function is integral to cardiac health of the patient is essential. I mean, it would seem obvious, but some people don't realize that as the heart declines, there are shrapnel effects that occur throughout the entire body and affect other organs in the body. So we would all love to have a magic bullet that would compensate for aging, but at present, best practices are well-worn messages that everybody knows about, of making healthy lifestyle choices, getting in and exercising, watching your diet, and by doing that, blunting the progression of the aging processes. As far as current research goes, doctors would do well to advise their patients to be very, very wary of anything they hear as quick fixes or hyperbolic promises offered by stem cell clinics or regenerative medicine centers. There are certainly a limited number of appropriately conducted clinical trials throughout the country for regenerative medicine, and there are also, unfortunately, a lot of for-profit clinics preying upon people who are desperate to get treated. And it's certainly understandable given that there are very few alternative treatment approaches. So physicians should do their best to stay current with research advances, exercise very healthy level of skepticism about any claims for revolutionary advances that haven't been vetted by rigorous scientific evidence, and focus upon helping patients to recognize that the pivotal part in mitigating aging really has to do with the choices that the patients make themselves in a preemptive fashion to slow that process before they already get to the point where they're going to need help. Message number one would be recognizing that regenerative medicine and our ability to rebuild and repair the heart holds tremendous potential from research that's been conducted over the last 12 to 15 years. When I got into this business about 25 years ago, we were told that the heart was a post-mitotic, post-regenerative organ, and basically it didn't matter what you did. You were born with the number of cells you were going to have, and over the course of your lifetime, you just lost them to the point where you finally didn't have enough to be able to sustain cardiac output. We now actually have a different paradigm, and we believe that there is potential for repairing and rebuilding the heart. We just have to figure out how to take the very limited, very, very small amount of reparative capacity that an aged heart has and ramp it up. So we are working on that, but it's a slow process. Research is a slow crawl. We're just getting started. Even though we've been at it for 10 years, we've still got a long way to go. My second message would be, please try to understand the science that regenerative medicine is based on and aging-related research to separate fact from hyperbole and to make sure that the things that you're talking to your patients about are rooted in reality and not in whatever Google searches tell them or whatever the flavor of the month is in terms of some new idea that's cropped up. A lot of these things come and go very quickly, but the old standbys of taking care of yourself and eating right and exercising and getting out in front of aging before aging gets you, you can't beat that. Three, counsel patients very, very strongly against any kind of quick fixes or magical treatments. There are a lot of them out there, and there are a lot of people who are preying on this population. It is unfortunate, it is deplorable, but it is happening because there's a lot of uninformed people who are looking for care. They're not uninformed because they don't want to be informed, that they are hopeful for something that they're going to get, but we just don't have enough solid, rigorous science yet to back up the idea that we can repair and rebuild an aged heart very efficiently. Number four is keep informed about appropriate clinical trials, federally supervised and run studies that are being done in reputable clinics, and steer those in need toward those kind of clinical trials and regenerative medicine studies so they can get enrolled and so they can get the help they need from people who are best capable of helping them. Last is, even though there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of disappointment, there's a lot of overt acute need to try to advance quickly toward regenerative medicine, we need to be patient and we need to be optimistic. And we have made some important advances, and there has been an avalanche of research that's come out in the last 10 to 15 years supporting the idea that we can intervene and we can make a difference. But translating that information from experimental animal models up into the clinic and getting it into the hands of physicians where they can use it is a very challenging and difficult process. So we need the understanding, the help, and the indulgence of the patients and the doctors if we're going to be able to make that jump. And we need to be able to stay the course and not become disenchanted by the lack of progress that we have so far. Remain optimistic about the potential for getting this done in the future. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure to offer my insights on this topic. And if you have any questions, there are plenty of websites available that you can look at that would give you further information. I would urge you to look at institutions with active regenerative medicine programs, such as ours at San Diego State University, and also to feel free to contact researchers in the field with specific questions if you see something of interest that you would like to get more information about. Many of the researchers are more than happy to help, so don't be afraid to reach out and get our feedback so that we can help you to help the patients that you're trying to take care of.